All this morning, we remember Oak Creek here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We memorialize 10 years ago today the tragedy of the mass shooting at the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin and discover how its members embody Charikala, or eternal optimism in healing. Join in 800-642-1234. Crystal Woodman Miller is here, serves on the Survivor Advisory Council for the Triumph Over Tragedy Retreat for Mass Shooting Survivors. She survived the Columbine High School mass shooting on April 20th, 1999, and views herself as an advocate of hope. Crystal, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, among the feelings people could grasp after tragedies like mass shootings, there are many feelings, but why do you advocate for hope?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And it's a question that you there in Wisconsin understand, especially today. My heart is with your community there, just remembering 10 years ago today, just your community being shaken by violence. And we are seeing this become so commonplace in our world. And I just feel such an urgency to bring that hope so that people know that violence and tragedy, they are not the end. They don't have the last say. Hope does. That there is ability to live beyond and to thrive beyond these things that happen to us. And that is the message that I carry.
How do you find hope?
You know, I think it looks different for so many different people. I personally, I'm a person of faith. That is a place where I find hope, but also I find hope in other people's stories. We are so connected by story, and we can really find inspiration and encouragement to live when we listen and we know other people's stories. I love traveling around and meeting people of different cultures and different backgrounds and different genders and socioeconomic status, and just entering in, because I think when we know other people's stories, we cannot hate another person. We cannot find reasons to be divided, but rather we can find commonalities and common ground that make us more alike than we are different. For me, hope has been traveling around the world, finding people who live far more difficult circumstances than I ever have, and realizing that if they can find hope to carry on, then so can I. Hope is also found for me in speaking and writing, just finding beauty all around. I mean, I believe there's hope. If we go out and we look for it, we can find hope in so many different places.
You've lived through these types of anniversaries, and I'm wondering, what do 10-year anniversaries of mass shootings, 20-year anniversaries, what do those days feel like?
You know, those days of these anniversaries, they are so sacred. They're so important to remember the people that we lost, but also those who survived, those who are still here, who are dealing with the pain and the trauma and the loss and the grief and the joys. I think that these days truly represent a solemn day of reflection. And again, that's going to look so different for every single person who has been affected by an event. But I think it really shows that we will never forget what we went through, but with each passing year that we really start to see hope and to see change and to see forward progress in our lives. And so I think that this day should be spent, you know, however someone sees fit. Some people like to go somewhere and not think about it at all, and some people love to sit where it happened and reflect. I think it's such a personal experience. For me, it's really just a looking back while also looking forward and kind of sitting in the, just sitting in the emotions of that day and not letting it pass me by. It's realizing that the lives who were lost will always be a part of us. It's remembering that our lives were forever changed in an instant. And then it's really deciding how we're going to choose to respond to that. Are we going to allow it to just devastate us and destroy us? Or are we going to allow it to kind of propel us and move us forward?
Do you think, Crystal, that public memorials or other places of memorials of these mass shootings, are they helpful in that a journey of healing?
I can only speak from experience, Kate. Mm-hmm. In my experience, I really believe that it has been helpful for us in the Columbine community in Littleton, Colorado. We were able to create a memorial after the shootings at Columbine High School. And I can say from personal experience that I go there often. I spend a lot of time at the memorial. I think it's such a beautiful place to reflect and to remember. It's a place of gathering where I get to be with other people in my community who experience something similar. But I also respect and I honor those who feel as though it's too difficult to go to the memorial, those who feel as though it's just too painful of a reminder. And so again, we all experience grief in such unique ways. No two people experience trauma in the same way. And so I just want to hold space for those as well who do not feel as though that's healing or helpful, because I think we all journey through grief in such vastly different ways.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the work of hope and healing decades after a mass tragedy. Crystal Woodman Miller is with us, a survivor of the Columbine High School shooting of 1999, serves on the Survivor Advisory Council for the Triumph Over Tragedy Retreat for Mass Shooting Survivors. You can join in 800-642-1234. Crystal, let's look at Triumph Over Tragedy and this retreat that happens next month, mid-September. It is free for mass shooting survivors. What sparked the creation of the retreat?
Yes, you know, this retreat was created because there is nothing else like this program anywhere in the world. There's very few tools and resources for survivors of mass shootings. And so we were able to team up with the OnSite Foundation in order to give survivors a place that they can come. It's a week long or a 6-day rather healing trauma retreat that takes place within community. There's also this beautiful educational component so people can understand the effects of trauma and why they're how it manifests and why they're living, thinking, doing things that they never really can understand. And it's because trauma has these effects on our bodies and it manifests in various ways. And so we're giving people that ability to understand and to operate and to find tools for hope and healing. But it's done within the context of community because we believe that healing takes place within community, that we were made for relationship and we were made for one another. So people come, they come to Nashville, Tennessee. And as you said, Kate, it is free to all, regardless of race or socioeconomic status, background, gender, that it has been provided for free by generous donors because we believe that everybody should have access to best-in-class trauma therapy. And we have the experts in trauma, and they can come and they walk through. It's intense. intense, it's an intensive, but it's done in such a gentle and tender way. And it's such a beautiful, quiet campus. And we walk through a series of using a variety of different modalities. Modalities are simply a fancy way of just different types of therapy. We use these different modalities because we've really recognized that talk therapy, it doesn't do much for trauma, that we need to unlock the trauma that we as survivors that we're holding. And so different modalities allow us to do that, whether it's psychodrama therapy, or it's adventure therapy, or body movement therapy. We also use various brain spotting, EMDR techniques, all of these things that are proven to really help begin to move the trauma out of our bodies and to begin to experience healing and hope like never before.
I'm wondering, as you say, you know, trauma manifests differently for every individual, but being at this retreat and being in the presence of mass shooting survivors, I wonder if there's a uniting quality, even if their atrocity occurred years before or decades before in a completely different situation. What is that uniting quality like?
You know, among survivors, Kate, I think that's one of the most beautiful things that we see is we have this bond that cannot be broken. This bond among survivors, we don't have to sit and unpack our trauma and all of the nuances because we know we can understand and relate with what one another has gone through. And so it's this beautiful just understanding that we can sit in one another's presence and we get it. We understand, we have this shared language and this shared experience, even if it was decades apart and vastly different, that there is a beautiful community among survivors. We're part of a club, and in this club, you will always feel known and seen, and you will have a place of belonging. And I think that is what matters most.
Crystal Woodman Miller with us assists in curating the Triumph Over Tragedy program through the OnSite Foundation, their retreat set for next month. She is a Columbine survivor. Join in on this journey of healing after gun violence. Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Over the course of this morning, we've been remembering 10 years since a gunman opened fire in the Sikh temple in Oak Creek and the work to prevent hate and violence in sacred spaces that continues on today. We have insight from Crystal Woodman Miller, an advocate and author, survivor of the Columbine High School mass shooting, serves on the Survivor Advisory Council for the Triumph Over Tragedy Retreat, created by the OnSite Foundation. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234 to join in. Crystal, survivors of mass tragedies, they can feel a range of emotions, as you've talked about, and one is survivor's guilt. How do you address those feelings at the retreat?
Yes, that is a big one that every one of us has faced at some point in our healing journey. And, you know, what's so beautiful, we were talking before the break that, you know, because we're all on this journey, there's no timeline to heal or what it should look like or when you have to deal with a certain issue. But that is certainly something that we work through. And it's done in such a way that, It's not a one-on-one, as I said, session, but rather within group. And so it's a lot of stuff is talked about out loud and it's processed as they go. And various people will jump in and say, well, here's how I dealt with it, or here's my experience, you know. And then, of course, we have an expert in trauma who is leading the conversation, and they're able to interject and to jump in with really wide counsel and tools of, okay, if you're experiencing some survivor's guilt, here's some things that you can do. Here's some things that you can try. Sometimes it looks like maybe writing a letter to somebody or to yourself or to somebody who has passed, being able to say goodbye and to express your survivor's guilt and to say, I'm so sorry you're gone and I'm still here. I mean, it's hard to answer that question because And it's dealt with in a variety of different ways, depending on who you are and where you are in the process. I will say for me, Kate, that survivor's guilt for me, it was something that just had a grip on me and just controlled me so much after the shootings at Columbine. And I was 16 years old. I was so young and I didn't have a manual to deal with this. And even if we did, it wouldn't apply. But I remember just, I felt so guilty every time I would laugh or smile or feel like I was moving forward with my life, because in some way, maybe I was forgetting about those who passed. And I was sitting at the home of one of my classmates, one of my friends who was killed. And I expressed this to her parents. And I said, I'm so sorry, because I just feel so guilty every time I smile and I laugh, and because she cannot, you know, and I can, it's not fair. And they looked at me and they said, the best way that you can honor her life, Crystal, is to live yours. Mm. And that kind of gave me the permission to move forward and to continue to live my life. And I did so with a fresh perspective, recognizing that I could carry her legacy on and I could live well so that I could honor her life. And so it, again, we all have those stories. We all have those moments, but we get to share those at Triumph Over Tragedy, and we get to share other experiences like it. And it's so amazing to hear the stories time and time again of somebody who's gone through the program, and they were so timid. They were so afraid. They didn't know what was going to happen during the program. And they walk out different people with a new outlook on life. They have a new lease on life, and they have this hope to say, okay, it still hurts and the pain is still there and the loss is still great, but I know that there is hope on the other side and that it's okay to walk into hope.
6 days is, I would imagine, a progression, a real journey for the participants. What is that leaving like on the last day?
Well, leaving, Kate, you leave with a chosen family. You know, we don't always get to choose the families that we're born into, but we do get to choose the people who get to enter our stories and who can walk with us through the ups and downs. And I know for me, I've been through the program several times, and every time I leave with these incredibly deep connections, friends that I know I can call on when things get hard or difficult, or the emotions that I am faced with, I know that I can reach out and they can do the same in me. And so you have this tight-knit community, that these forever friends. And so you walk out knowing, okay, I'm not alone. I don't have to do this alone. And I think that's such an important component of hope, is to recognize that this is not a journey that we have to do alone. It's not an individual journey, though it is, because we do things in such an individual way, but we also get to do so in the context of community. And I just believe that's so important. We need one another, because where I am weak in an area, somebody else may be strong, and where somebody else is weak, I may be strong. And we find this beautiful synergy in that.
Talking about forgiveness and hope with Crystal Woodman Miller, survived Columbine High School mass shooting of 1999 and serves on the Survivor Advisory Council for the Triumph Over Tragedy Retreat for Survivors we've been talking about. Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Crystal, I want to bring up Sue Klebold, the mother of the Columbine shooter, and we had her on our program in 2017 when her book came out, A Mother's Reckoning. You say you have compassion for Sue. Can you talk about that?
Oh, I do. I have such compassion for Sue. I also reached out to her when her book came out. I was so desperate to track her down. I've always wanted to chat with her and talk to her and just tell her that I know she did the best that she could possibly do with her son. I know, as a mom myself of three young kids, we pour love. We do everything we can to love our kids and to help nurture our kids and to give them every opportunity and to love them well. And I was able to do that with Sue. I was able to tell Sue, hey, I don't blame you. I know you did the best that you could do, that there is forgiveness, not only for her, but for her son. I came to a place in my own journey where I needed to choose forgiveness for those two shooters. They were gone. They ended their own lives. And instead of being shackled and tethered to these two people who wanted to kill and to destroy my life, I had to release myself because I was just carrying them around and carrying that burden. And so I was able to let that go, and I was able to find release and find life and find freedom from that. And so I expressed these things to Sue, and we were able to kind of go back and forth on email a couple of times. And I know it brought me great comfort, and I pray that it did the same for her as well.
Crystal, thank you for joining us.
Of course. Thank you, Kate, for having me, and thank you for this beautiful program. My heart continues to be with your community today.
Crystal Woodman Miller serves on the Survivor Advisory Council for the Triumph Over Tragedy Retreat, a Columbine survivor, and now remembering the lives lost at the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin. Savan Singh Kalika, 65, Prakash Singh, 39, Sita Singh, 41, Sajit Singh, 49, Shuveng Singh Katavra, 84, Parmajit Kaur, 41, Baba Punjab Singh, 72. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.